to put on the lapel mic, so if you're looking for that, I don't have it here. So maybe you can go with this mic, or I'll try to stay put here, not wander. All right, Daniel chapter 5. We're in a series here on Sunday evenings on the book of Daniel, and we're coming here to the fifth chapter. We're going to look at the whole chapter, and title of the message is The Handwriting on the Wall. You know, that's a term that many people use, probably without realizing that it has a biblical basis and for impending judgment. And it comes from this chapter and God's message to the king of Babylon, Belshazzar. And so we're going to look at this chapter here tonight, and I'm going to begin by reading it. Daniel chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines, drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonied. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Then was Daniel brought before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people and nations and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with the grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thy heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. The book of Daniel tells us a lot about God's perspective on the human governments of the world. And that's one of the reasons why I felt like it'd be good for us to go through this book as we are in a time of transition in our own country. And even this week, probably most of you were watching the inauguration. We had a transition that took place in our country. And we see here in this chapter that there was a transition of power in Babylon. Last week, we were looking at the experience that happened to King Nebuchadnezzar and how God humbled him, took him down to teach him a lesson. And now we come here to chapter 5, and there's another king that is reigning. And that's because after 42 or 43 years, King Nebuchadnezzar died. And somebody else came to power. And the transition in Babylon was not quite as smooth as it seems to be here in our country. There were a number of people that came directly after Nebuchadnezzar. His son, who had the name Evil-Merodach, how would you like to have that name? He reigned for just 2 years. And then his son-in-law ruled for 4 years. His name was Nergal-Sharezer. How would you like to have that name? But he ruled for just 4 years. And then there was another, the son-in-law who had a son. His name was Labashi-Marduk. And he ruled for just 2 months. And he was assassinated. But then there was a king who came to power in Babylon whose name was Nabonidus. You say, wait a minute. I thought it was Belshazzar. Well, you know, one of the things that critics of the Bible have noticed about Daniel chapter 5 is that there's no record of Nabonidus. And history tells us that Nabonidus was the king when Babylon fell. And so the critics come to Daniel chapter 5 and they say, see, the Bible cannot be true because the Bible says here that a man named Belshazzar was king when Babylon fell. But of course, we know that the scriptures are from God and they are without error. And so sure enough, there has been evidence that explains this. And we have something that has been discovered called a Persian verse account of Nabonidus. And one of the things it tells us about Nabonidus is that he ruled for 17, 18 years. But he did not like to stay in Babylon. Nabonidus was a man who liked to get out and about, and he had residences in other areas. And it tells us that Nabonidus had someone that helped him. And Nabonidus had a son. And Nabonidus made him his co-ruler, his king, his co-king, his co-regent. And that man was Belshazzar. Belshazzar was the co-regent at this time, while Nabonidus went off and about traveling and vacationing and fighting other battles as he liked to do. And so this makes a great explanation for what we read here in the scriptures. When Belshazzar comes and offers to make whoever's able to explain this writing the third ruler in the kingdom. Why third ruler? Well, because there's already two. There's Nabonidus and there's Belshazzar. And so the scriptures are completely accurate in what they tell us about history. Nabonidus and his son, Belshazzar, the last kings of Babylon. We're introduced to this co-ruler, Belshazzar, here in Daniel chapter 5, and this is all that we learn of him in the scripture. But as we observe the transition of power here, one thing that we notice that proves to be true from the dream that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar back in Daniel chapter 2 is that the kingdom is in decline. And what I'd like for us to see this evening is the steps of decline or the signs of decline that we see in this kingdom of Babylon that are evident in this chapter. Remember the dream of the image that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar was that head of gold. And then as we went down through that image, each of those metals decreased in value. And finally, all the way down to the iron mixed with clay. We see that here, that there is a definite decline in this kingdom of Babylon as we see the transition that takes place. So what are the signs of decline here? The first evidence of decline, I think we can see in the very first verse. Notice back in Daniel 5, verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. The first sign of decline that we can see in the kingdom of Babylon is the domination of pleasure. The domination of pleasure. Belshazzar is having a drinking party here with 1,000 people. I'm sure that Nebuchadnezzar probably drank wine too. In fact, in chapter 1, we're told he put the wine before the captives in the king's palace. But we see that Nebuchadnezzar was more of an educator. Nebuchadnezzar was more of an administrator. He wanted to train up some people that would be able to serve. But then the first thing that we learn about Belshazzar is that he's hosting a giant drinking party. Drinking wine in this party house with 1,000 people. When God is speaking his final warning to Belshazzar, what is Belshazzar doing? He's drinking. How often would that be true for people today? When God is trying to speak to them, what are they doing? Maybe they're drinking. You know, the scripture has a lot of warnings about the dangers of wine and alcohol. Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 5, really throughout Isaiah, that it was the cause of many of the national problems that Israel had. The domination by wine. Isaiah 5:11 says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them." Proverbs 23 is a warning for individuals. Verse 29, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." Domination by pleasures. You know, there are people today that make an argument that, you know, it's all right for Christians to drink alcohol. And of course, the scripture has some positive things that it says about alcohol. And I think what they don't understand is that the alcohol of the ancient world is not the beverages that are available today, and that it was used to purify the drinking water in a very much a diluted aspect there. There's tremendous warning about the dangers of seeking pleasure through alcohol. And, you know, it's not just limited to that. But we know that in Belshazzar's case, there was a war going on. The Persians were outside the city walls. I think that Belshazzar knew that. And what was he doing? He was partying. He's drinking. His wives, his concubines, they're all in there drinking. And, you know, we look at our country, for example, today, and what are people doing? Well, they're doing the same thing. How many people are there today who will be drunk or high on drugs when God's trying to speak to them? You know, say, Pastor Howard, you're talking to the church here. Well, you know, the problems that we have are everywhere. And nobody is immune from those problems. Whether it be alcohol, whether it be drugs, it's everywhere. And God is trying to speak to us. And is it true that we are dominated by the pleasures that enslave us? Maybe it's not drugs and alcohol. Maybe it's something else. You know, the screens that we have, and you know, we're enslaved by those things. And you know, is God trying to speak to us? Yes, He is. But are we enslaved by our pleasures, like Belshazzar and Babylon at the very end of the kingdom? Here is a sign of the decline in the country of Babylon, and certainly it's a sign of decline in any country. Domination by pleasure. Then we see a second sign here of decline, and that has to do with what they were drinking the wine in. Notice verse 2, Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. So Belshazzar evidently is not getting enough out of this drinking party. He needs to spice it up a little bit. And so he remembers the vessels that were taken by Nebuchadnezzar from Jerusalem, from the temple. And why don't we have, why don't we drink in that? And won't that be fun? And so he brings those vessels in there. And at the same time, he is praising the gods of gold and silver, of brass and iron, of wood and of stone. Say, what's the big deal with the vessels from the temple? What's a big deal with that? Well, that's an issue that comes up again when Daniel's talking to the king. Evidently, this was an area that Belshazzar was trying to directly confront the God of the Jews here. Verse 23, thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drank wine in them. Nebuchadnezzar, when he had taken those vessels, we read in chapter 1 that he put them in safekeeping, it seems. He put them in the house of his God, and it doesn't seem like he went to the same extent that Belshazzar is going to, where he's drinking wine out of these vessels from the temple. But what were those vessels? Those were vessels that had been set apart by God. God told Moses in Exodus 49, and thou shalt take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is therein, and shalt hallow it and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. And it was there at the tabernacle and later the temple that God said in Deuteronomy 12:11, he would cause his name to dwell. These were vessels that were set apart unto God. They were holy unto him. Here we see the second sign of decline. First, the domination by pleasure. But what was Belshazzar doing with those vessels? Ultimately, what he was doing was he was disrespecting God. He was disrespecting God. That's the second sign of decline that we see in Babylon. I think that this was nothing other than a violation of the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. When we see the name of God in the Bible, it refers to everything about God. And what it's talking about is our attitude towards God, the reverence that we show towards Him, the respect that we have towards the truth of God, towards the worship of God. And Belshazzar was deliberately showing his disregard for the God of Israel. And not only was he getting drunk, but he was worshiping his own gods as he disregarded the God of Israel. How much more disrespectful could it be than to do what Belshazzar was doing there, disrespecting God? You say, well, we don't have sacred vessels today. And, you know, that's not really a part of our lives. We don't worship in the same way with a temple or tabernacle. But it's possible for us to disrespect God as well. I think that there are many that do not treat God and His truth with the respect that He deserves. I think that what passes for worship in many churches today is nothing more than sacrilegious worship. When we come before God and we are disrespecting Him, not recognizing the holy God that we have, the disdain, the lack of attention to the things of God shows how little people think of Him today as well. And, you know, the list could go on and on. But a sign of decline here in Babylon was the utter disrespect for God. Belshazzar deliberately blaspheming the God of Israel. Disrespect of God. And thirdly, this evening, we see that another sign has to do with the disregard that Belshazzar had for God's word. We come here to the handwriting on the wall, and they're having a great old party here, and all of a sudden, Belshazzar sees the hand, and it's writing there on the wall, and he's scared. His knees are knocking. His heart's probably beating really fast, and other people see that. Maybe there's all kinds of party noise that's going on, and suddenly, silence. What's going on here? He calls in those wise men, and wouldn't you know it again, they fail over and over again. Those wise men show they can't do anything. And so then comes the queen. Verse 10, now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts be troubled. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Say, how did Belshazzar not know about Daniel? Well, I want you to remember that there's been many years that have gone by here. We know that if Daniel was 16 years old when he was first taken into captivity in Babylon, we know the time that Nebuchadnezzar died. So we have a rough idea of the time frame here. And so Daniel is probably at this time early 80s. And many years have gone by. So I want to ask you, do you remember any of the advisors to the President of the United States 60 years ago? Do you know who they were? All right, maybe some of you would. But, after 60 years go by, it's hard to remember the details. I don't speak by experience. Maybe some of you know that. But, A lot of years have gone by, and we have different kings that have come up in Babylon. Belshazzar comes up, and you know, Daniel is not so much in the forefront as he was. You know, last chapter, we learned that Daniel had been promoted. He was in a high position, but it seems that Daniel has faded back into the background. Daniel is older now, and it seems like the queen remembers him. Some people think that this queen maybe is not Belshazzar's wife, but instead perhaps the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar, or even the wife of Nebuchadnezzar, the queen mother, somebody who would have remembered what Daniel did for her father or her husband. And that's something that Dr. John Wickham in his commentary has put forth. But, you know, however she remembers him, she comes here to Belshazzar and she recommends that Daniel be sought after again. Disregard for God's word. I think the first way that we see that in Belshazzar's life was disregard for God's man, Daniel. Daniel had faded into the background. And that's something that we can expect to happen. You know, Christians do not always enjoy the prominence that Daniel enjoyed. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 21, before all these things, talking about end times events, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues, into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. All right, that's the thing we should expect as Christians. It may be that God would put somebody into a high position for his message that he would have to a ruler, but generally, Christians are not going to be the ones who are sought after, first of all. And we see that happening in Daniel's life. He fades into the background. But Daniel comes, and he's able to help the king. And the king offers him these rewards. Daniel says, verse 17, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Daniel is able to give a message to the king. He reminds him of what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, which could have been his... not necessarily his father, but perhaps his grandfather. It may have been that he was married to the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar, or that Nabonidus was married to the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. And, there was a relationship here. The scripture says father. This word can also be used to other relationships beyond that. But there was a relationship here, Belshazzar knew about what had happened in the life of Nebuchadnezzar, perhaps his grandfather. But notice what it says there in verse 22. Daniel says to Belshazzar, and thou his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Here we see that Belshazzar had disregarded not only God's man, but he disregards God's message in history. You're probably familiar with the saying that those who do not remember the past are condemned to relive it. It seems here that Belshazzar doesn't have the excuse of forgetting. Daniel comes to him and says, Belshazzar, you know what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. You know that. But the problem was, he didn't learn from it. He knew about what had happened, but he didn't learn from it. He disregarded it. I wonder what lessons God has for us, even from history, that we've forgotten or that we've ignored. He disregarded God's message, even that he had for him in his grandfather, in what happened to him. And then finally, this evening, we see the last sign of the decline. We see the domination by pleasures, the disrespect of God, the disregard for God's word. And finally, that ends in the destruction by God. God reveals that destruction with the handwriting on the wall, verses 24 to 28. Daniel's able to help him out and interpret those words, each one of them representing something that is going on here. God is numbering Belshazzar's kingdom. He is weighing him in the balance. and he's going to divide the kingdom. We see that that revelation of destruction was a final warning. You know, God sometimes comes to us like he came to Nebuchadnezzar, and he gives him a warning with some time. But that wasn't what happened to Belshazzar here. Belshazzar had disregarded God's word, and now God comes to him and he warns him a final time which will end in judgment and destruction. That was it. There was no more time for Belshazzar. And then we see verses 29 to 31, the results of that revelation. There's two historians that lived not long after this event that tell us a little more about what happened. One of those historians was named Herodotus. He was a Greek historian. And in his history, he tells us that the Persians actually made plans to take the city of Babylon captive even 2 years prior to this event. And they noticed that the Euphrates River flowed right through Babylon. Of course, Babylon is surrounded by walls, and so they had made plans to create a canal 2 miles outside the city and reroute the Euphrates River. And so on the night that Belshazzar was partying and drinking wine, the Persians turned off the Euphrates River. And as the water began to subside, the Persians were able to march under the walls, under the gate that went above the river, the sluice gate. They marched right into the city and took it captive. Another historian, another Greek historian about the same time period, his name is Xenophon. He tells us that the Babylonians were indeed feasting in a drunken revelry when the Persians entered. God's word came true. Belshazzar's kingdom was divided. There's no question that the signs of decline are all around us. I want to ask you tonight, are they in us as well? The domination by pleasures, the disrespect of God, the disregard for God's word, and the destruction by God. Probably many of you have heard of The Jungle Book. You may have even watched the Disney version. But did you know that there was a man who wrote The Jungle Book? It was a book, and his name was Rudyard Kipling. He wrote that book in 1894. Just a few years later, Rudyard Kipling was a British writer, popular writer then, and he wrote a poem for Queen Victoria's Diamond Jubilee in 1897. In that period of time, the British Empire was beginning to decrease in size. There was a time when the British Empire, when the sun never set on the British Empire. And, they were the imperial nation, taking the areas of the world into their kingdom. But on this occasion, Rudyard Kipling wrote a poem called Recessional, which wasn't received with so great applause because it was a warning that God was in charge and that their pride would lead them to defeat. Listen to what he wrote. God of our fathers known of old, Lord of our far-flung battle line, beneath whose awful hand we hold dominion over palm and pine. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget. Lest we forget. The tumult and the shouting dies. The captains and the kings depart. Still stands thine ancient sacrifice, a humble and a contrite heart. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. Far called, our navies melt away. On dune and headland sinks the fire. Lo, all our pomp of yesterday is one with Nineveh and Tyre. Judge of the nations, spare us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. The problem with Belshazzar was that he was forgetting what God was trying to teach him in the history of his own family, disregarding those lessons that God has for him. Perhaps that would be the case in our own country. I hope it's not. More importantly, let it not be the case in our own lives that we would forget and disregard the lessons that God has for us. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word again tonight, and we pray that you'd help us to heed the lessons that are in it. Lord, we see the decline even in ancient Babylon, and we know it's true even in our own country. Lord, we pray that you would guard us from the signs of decline in our own lives. Help us to pay attention to your word and to break free from that which would enslave us. Lord, to give you the honor and the respect that you deserve in every area of our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and turn to